Well, good evening. No, I've already said that to you once before, but it kind of puts me at ease when I do something like that. We're going to continue in 1 John. We're going to be in chapter 5 tonight. So if you'll get your Bibles in 1 John chapter 5 and look at the first five verses there. We've talked about a number of things in 1 John. And sometimes you look back like it was said last week, you don't want to repeat just a whole lot of what was said. But if I do that tonight, forgive me, overlook it. It's still God's Word and still very applicable to what we need to look at. So, if y'all stand, we'll read 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats the evil world, this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Brother Michael, would you pray for us, please? We'll start off with a statement that might be a little controversial, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Most people in the world do not know what a Christian is or how they can become a Christian. Do you know why that's the truth? Because we have a lot of hypocrites that are Christians. They don't live the Christian life like they're supposed to. And so, for just the general person to look and see what a Christian is, we may not portray that in the way that we need to. If we can't live a life that we need to and portray the Christianity that we are supposed to have, then it's hard for somebody to know how to become a Christian. Because we can explain it to them, and they'll look at me and go, "That's you? I don't want that." And so, a lot of people, they trust on religious works and good intentions, how they live their life. But God says that a Christian is someone who has been born again. Someone who has accepted Him as Savior. All right, and so John uses this phrase, born again, a number of times. And it kind of gives a birthmark of a believer. In chapter 2, verse 29, he says, "Those who are born again practice righteousness." In chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Those who are born again do not practice sin." Chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Those who are born again, they love other Christians." Chapter 5, verse 4, "They have overcome the world." Chapter 5, verse 18, "They keep themselves from Satan." Those are some birthmarks of those people who are born again. Hopefully, most of the time, I have those birthmarks on me. I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget to do some of those. I forget to not practice sin. I forget to love other Christians. And so, John emphasizes love, obedience, and truth in this book. And if we have God as our Father and love Him, then surely we also have love for His children. Brother Michael preached very wonderfully this morning. Very wonderfully. And, you know, having anger, having any kind of hatred in our hearts towards other Christians, man, that knocks us off our spot, doesn't it? It keeps us from being who we are. We cannot have those birthmarks of Christianity if we have that in our life. And so if we have this kind of love, and this love leads to obedience, in John chapter 14, verse 21, it says, "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each one of them." And so where there is love, there is a willingness to serve and please others. There is a time that we have this love, and we obey God and His commandments, and we live by that truth. And if a Christian complains about any of God's commands that he's supposed to obey, that complains that they're keeping him from doing the things that he should, and they become burdensome to him, they've missed Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, where Jesus said, Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And I love that about God. I love that about that opportunity, the commandments that He gives me. I don't have to worry about them if I follow them. They become burdensome to me if I don't follow them. And so, let's look at a few things here. There's four things that I want to bring to your attention tonight that comes from these verses, these first five verses. Verse 1, it says this, everyone who believes. So I have a question for you. Is belief enough? We're going to take a poll, okay? Is belief enough? If you say yes, raise your hand. Oh, there you go. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. Is belief enough? Or is belief not enough? Okay? Everyone who believes, is belief enough? James 2:19 says, even the demons believe, but they don't serve God. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. What does it take to be born again? Can I just believe that there's a God? Can I believe that there's Jesus? No, my Bible tells me that I have to admit who I am and accept what He's done for me to be born again. Everyone who believes, that is a present tense, has been born of God in a perfect tense. That is something that is actively happening and going on right now. It's not the fact that you're born of God, then you believe. You believe who Jesus is, and then you're born again. In verse 2 it says, by this we know love. By this we know love. Let's read that. For we know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments. Let's go back and y'all look, go back to 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. Verse 19 says, we love each other because He loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. Thanks, Brother Michael, for calling us all liars this morning. For if we don't love people, we can see, how can we love a God whom we cannot see? And if He has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. That kind of, up until now, the question in 1 John has been, how can we know for sure that we love God or believe God or are born of God? And the answer has always come back that you can know how it is with you and God by whether you love your brothers and sisters. But in verse 2 of chapter 5, it says, we know we love God's children if we love God. If we love God. That's a whole lot different than what we're prone to think, right? If we love God, I have a problem with not loving God. I'm just going to be honest with you. I have a problem with not loving God if I'm held to this standard. Because sometimes I don't love His people. And if you're honest with yourself, you're the same. But a lot of y'all know that I referee, right? A lot of you have yelled at me. I forgive you. It's okay. Some of y'all may have yelled at me this week. I'm not quite sure. But y'all don't know how that makes me feel, being yelled at. Do y'all like being yelled at? Michael, do you like being yelled at? All the time. Celeste, come on. Oh, do what? No, I didn't ask if you were. I asked if you liked being yelled at. It doesn't make me feel very good. And sometimes it downright irritates me and makes me mad. here recently, a coach looked at me and he said, "Why wasn't that a foul?" And I said, "Well, that girl's 2 foot taller than yours. And she just reached over and took the ball. Didn't touch her, didn't do anything." He said, "Well, everybody here in this building thinks that's a foul except for you three." And I looked at him and I said, "We're the only three that matters." That's kind of my attitude. When people yell at me, I'm the only one that matters. I don't care what you think. In fact, you put up a wall in between me and yourself when you've done that. And I'm done. In fact, I've told coaches, I said, "If you're going to speak to me that way, I'm finished. I'm done." And I walk away. And if I use that in my life, and folks, I not only do that in my life, in my officiating life, I do that in my personal life. You can irritate me so bad that I can look at you and go, "I'm done." And I walk away. And I'm held to this standard. This is the standard I'm held to. The standard of loving God. That comes first. Loving God comes before loving your brothers and sisters. And that's tough. When John comes back in verse 2 here of chapter 5, he's been telling us that, hey, this is how we know that we love God, is that we love our brothers and sisters. Now he says, we know we love God's children if we love God. Have you thought about how you love people? It begins with loving your Savior first. First. If this is the test, whether we really love people or whether we really love God, I'm going to ask you, did you fail the test? Or did you pass? Some days you can stand up, some days I can too, and go, "I passed today." But all it takes is that one time for me to go, "Nope, I'm done. I'm the one that matters." And I've blown it. We know we love. And I love the part of knowing. Knowing brings what? Knowing brings confidence. I want to be confident in my love. Knowing brings confidence, and confidence brings strength. And if I know that I love God, and I am 100% sure and hanging on to that, I have great confidence in the abilities that God can give me strength in. I don't have confidence in my abilities, but in His. By this we know love, that we love God. In verse 2 and verse 3, it says, We know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments. Loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. If this is a test to see what we're really loving, if we are really loving our brothers and sisters, it should go something like this. By this we know, this is the way it kind of thought process with this verse. By this we know that we love the children of God when we keep God's commandments and don't experience them as burdensome. In other words, the test of genuineness of love to the children of God is whether you let the commandments of God govern your life. If I can speak tonight, I'm sorry. The genuine test, if you let God's commandments govern your life and not fight against them, they're not burdensome. They're not something that's going to hold you back. It's something that you're going to see that gives you an avenue of peace. When I fight against God's commandments, I don't have very much peace in my life. And I need that. And the only way that God's commandments are burdensome for you or for me or for any other Christian is when we don't want them in our lives. For us to love God, we have to have His commandments in our life. For us to love God, we have to follow His commandments in our life. And doing so brings us to verse 4 and 5. For every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So who is he that overcomes the world? It's those who believe in God. It's those. How does this work? What is the connection between God's commandments and the world? If the God's commandments are not burdensome to us, but the world tempts us in a direction that we want to go, and believe in obeying God's commandments, it's not as satisfying as disobeying them. That may not have come out exactly the way I want it to. So let me put it to you this way. We lean more to what the world wants. Okay? Because it brings us satisfaction. We lean more towards what God wants because it brings Him honor and glory. Which one do we want to bring to the table? We want to bring us satisfaction? Like I said a while ago, we're the only three in the room that matter. It's just us. We tend to agree with the world. And on the other hand, there is something in us that loves to agree with the world. Chapter 4, verse 5, it says this, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Because I'm a Christian, because I am born again, that's where I'm relying on. That's what I'm relying on, is God. But if the world is overcome, then the commandments of God would become burdensome. And that's the way it is in our life sometimes. We allow God's commandments to be burdensome because we're looking for satisfaction and not to give Him honor and glory. Our faith. Let me read this, verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's my faith. How am I going to overcome the world? Believe Jesus, who is the Son of God. God promises to work everything together for good for those who love Him. He withholds no good things for those who walk uprightly. And His yoke is easy, and His burden of His commandments is light. And so we look at chapter 5 here, verses 1 through 5. Keep these things in mind. We have a belief in Jesus. We have love for God, which carries over to loving each other. We have commandments that we are supposed to obey, that we need to obey. And if we're going to overcome this world, it's because of our faith in what Jesus has done. Five simple verses that we look at, and we need to understand that our life is in God's hands. Our life belongs to Him. And if we've given our life to Him, commandments should be easy, right? I don't know about all or not. So, commandments should be easy. Giving our life to God not just means that we turn over a new leaf and somebody else will say that, but it means that we have given our will to Him. You see, when I tell God my will is gone, it should be. My will should become His. And everything that He wants me to do, is what I should do. Be a good husband, be a good wife, be a good father, be a good role model, be a good human, be a good whatever it is. Because God said, love me. Love everybody else. And I look at the Lord. Faith is not. If you don't have faith, if you don't have that
to Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God is born again. Confess with your mouth tonight that you are a sinner. Accept what Jesus has done for you. So when you read that verse, you can take heart and take hold that I believe and I am a son or a daughter of Jesus. You'll say it tonight. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for what you've given us. Father, the life that you've given us. Father, we thank you for your commandments, even though sometimes we don't agree with them, we don't want to refuse them, we don't even want to pay attention to them, let alone walk in those steps. Father, I thank you for your commandments, that you have given us a path to follow. Father, that you have given us that path to follow with a reason to bring you honor and glory as your sons and daughters. Father, again, I want to pray to you tonight for what you've done for us, for the death, the burial, the resurrection, Father, the opportunity for us to be able to spend eternity with you because of those things. Father, there's one here tonight that